Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Wednesday, the 23rd day in August of 2023. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to make it through your Wednesday. And we're going to start with a newly discovered, malware, which researchers are calling Space Colon. Now, Space Colon, according to analysis, was updated as recently as this May, and it may have been delivered and used and abused in hacking as long ago as the year 2000. And what's interesting here is that researchers uncovered this new Space Colon malware because of its relation to the deployment of ransomware, Scarab ransomware. Now, researchers at ESET are saying that it's possible that the developer of Space Colon is a Turkish-speaking individual based on some of the language artifacts found within the malware. And they're calling the activity of the malware and or people behind its deployment Cosmic Beetle. So a group of activity labeled as Cosmic Beetle is using the Space Colon malware to abuse web servers and remote desktop protocols, trying to gain access via username and password combinations that are brute force guessed and or potentially purchased from other criminals. What you need to know is that there's another ransomware player on the scene, the deployers of Scarab ransomware, and they're using a cool new tool to do it. And to deploy these tools, they're abusing, again, openly accessible web servers and remote desktop protocols. So if you have a service, website, company that utilizes web servers or RDP, protect those assets, otherwise Cosmic Beetle might be coming for you. And if you think that warning that if you don't address your processes, your programs, your elements like RDP, because you'll be the victim of ransomware and I'm just trying to scare everyone. Well, if you are in the Department of Defense of South Africa, it happened to you. In this case, the Snatch ransomware was used, and the operators of the Snatch ransomware group did claim the credit for the attack against the Department of Defense in South Africa. They stole military contracts, internal call signs, personal data of military individuals, all in total over 1.6 terabytes of data, which is a huge amount of data, meaning that now the group knows which companies do business with the Department of Defense, what kind of business, to what degree, what kind of weapons. And in theory, they know how the South African Department of Defense, which would include the military, operates, which could limit the ability of that military to operate. So this is a very huge thing that is impacting not just companies, but militaries around the world. So if you do business with or are in the Department of Defense or under its purview in South Africa, just know criminals have your data. It's unclear if the Department of Defense will negotiate to stop the leak of further data within these classified elements. So again, we're not sure the degree to which the Department of Defense will engage the Snatch ransomware operators. We're not sure how they gained access, but their impact is very real. And we're going to have to stay on ransomware because yet a third ransomware group is very active. Akira has come on the scene rather strong in the last year or so. And they are now, according to researchers, targeting what could be an unknown flaw in Cisco's VPN products. Cisco is the maker of a lot of different technological elements. And their VPN, or Virtual Private Network, product helps secure internet traffic from organizations and individuals alike. It's a great product, used by thousands. And now we know that Akira is targeting it, and they're using it to gain access to corporate networks. So if you're a corporate network that is using Cisco's VPN products, you need to enable MFA. This is not a patch now scenario because there's nothing to patch. It's unclear exactly how Akira is abusing Cisco VPN products, but they are, and they're deploying ransomware, and they're having very large impacts, from shutting down core business functions to, as in the case of the Department of Defense in South Africa, stealing data. These operators of Akira will extort organizations to the fullest degree in order to make money. So if you don't want to lose all of your money and or data and or have your business disrupted, add multi-factor authentication to Cisco VPN products, make really good friends with your Cisco sales rep or customer success manager so that you can be most up to date and positioned to patch when and if whatever this flaw or bypass that Akira is using is uncovered and fixed. And we're going to end today not on ransomware, but on another key cybersecurity topic, supply chain attacks. Supply chain attacks are damning because they allow criminals to infect larger volumes of victims by poisoning or taking advantage of a key technology that's used across a wide set of individuals, companies, or organizations. And researchers from the Symantec Threat Hunter team have documented that a group they track as Carter B have used a malware-laced, what's their terminology, version of a legitimate software. This software, known as Cobra Doc Guard, appears to be aimed at organizations in Hong Kong. It looks like by abusing this particular software, which again, used by many organizations in Hong Kong, totally normal, legitimate software, was being used by the group to infect organizations who downloaded this legitimate software with a backdoor known as CorePlug, also reported as PlugX. Now, what's interesting here is that the attack appears to be very similar to activity that a China-linked advanced persistent threat actor has conducted against Hong Kong in the past. Now, in those previous attacks, it was gambling sites that were being targeted, unclear exactly why. But in this case, again, it's hard to know exactly who these Chinese actors tracked as Emissary Panda, you may also see it written as APT-27, who they're targeting, because by conducting a supply chain attack, in theory, they're infecting everyone who uses that product. And so if you are trying to hide who it is you're stealing data from, you can infect hundreds or thousands of victims. Everyone's busy remediating. Everyone's worried what data might be stolen. It's very difficult to know who specifically the end target was. And so it helps mask the objectives that these actors might have. And it also just means that they have many more victims to choose who to steal data from. And so it's a double-edged sword that we have to address as part of supply chain attacks, which are growing in volume, sophistication, and scale. And so it's very important as an organization to have an internal process to not blindly trust vendors, to not blindly download or allow employees to download untrusted software, or even trusted software from non-normal sources. And when you're using trusted software, it's good to trust it, but always verify. You might want to have an application process at which updates or files from vendors are scanned before being deployed so that you could try to catch any kind of infection so that you are not a victim of, in this case, a supply chain attack aimed at Hong Kong abusing Cobra.guard software. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a fantastic and outstanding Wednesday. Hopefully you're halfway through your work week. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow on Thursday. Until then, stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy. Michael Kimmett signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's Tip of the Cap goes to a Canadian, Mark Fuhrman. He's getting a sincere tip of the cap because, at the age of 65, demonstrated an outstanding display of courage, of dedication, of commitment. He wanted to raise money for Doctors Without Borders and Captains Without Borders and push a message of positivity for our troubled times. To do so, he initiated a campaign and became the first person to journey 6,800 miles in a kayak from Nova Scotia down the Atlantic coast, around Florida, up through the river systems, all the way around in what is known as the Greater Loop, which encompasses almost all of eastern United States, to return to Canada. Took him the equivalent of 1,643 hours of paddling. And so to you, Mark, for your outstanding dedication to raising funds for very important causes while demonstrating that even at 65, you can accomplish outstanding physical feats. Sincere tip of the cap, and please keep on paddling.